Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. At Buckhead Church, we are for Atlanta because we believe that God is for Atlanta. And these days, it's more important than ever to be known by what we're for. And we hope this podcast helps you in your life and faith. We want to help you find greater hope with fewer regrets because we are for you. If it's your first time with us, head over to buckheadchurch.org/new so we can meet you and send you a free For Atlanta gift on us. If you're not already receiving weekly emails from us, make sure to head to our website, scroll to the bottom, click Stay Informed, and sign up today. The best way to keep up with everything going on is to follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and download our free Buckhead Church app. But most importantly, I hope the following episode inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey this week. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. How are we doing today, Buckhead Church? Y'all doing all right? If you don't know me, my name is Jamie, or you can just call me Second String. I'm really glad to be here. Hope you guys are having a good morning. I am the leader, the pastor of our high school ministry Inside Out here at Buckhead Church. In fact, I just got back from a weekend with a bunch of our students, well, from another campus, and it was awesome. So I'm really glad to be here this morning. If you don't know me, me and my family, my wife and I, Sarah, and our three kids live in the Brookhaven area right down the road. In fact, here are our kids right here. This is Cashman, Peyton, and the little one, Riley. Yeah, oh, hey guys. But like many of you, maybe we are in the season of school starting. In fact, Cashman, my boy, he had his first day of school like last week. I think it was last week. Time flies. And so we're in the middle of that. And you know what's cool? And those of you that have kids or nieces and nephews, maybe you've noticed this point where they get old enough that you start to get glimpses of like the filter through which they view you, right? You start to get little glimpses of like what they think about when they think about you. And one of those moments came the other day. Cashman's teachers just said, "Hey, draw your family." And my son drew this. So we're definitely not thinking art school, not happening in the future. But here's mommy and daddy. And I feel like it got daddy pretty good. This is dad at work, okay? But then there's my wife over here, you know, mom of three, one on the way, works, has a side job. And she's like, "Mom having a shower. That's mom." Her entire existence is, "Oh yeah, my mom takes showers," you know? And my wife is kind of like, "Oh, okay." But I reassured her. I'm like, "Babe, you definitely got the better end of that deal, because my middle child, Peyton, she came downstairs Labor Day weekend on Friday, and we're sitting there at the counter. Sarah's working on her computer. Daddy's leaning against the deal, just drinking a Coke. And she said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And mommy says, "Well, mommy's working on her computer and daddy's drinking a Coke." Like, that's pretty harmless, right? Well, until we're walking around the neighborhood and we meet some neighbors and they're like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And my daughter says, "Mommy works and daddy drinks." And I'm like, "Hi, I'm Jamie Dickens. I work at Buckhead Church. How's it going?" You know, it's like, at that point, no one believes you anymore. They're like, "Yeah, sure." So, you know, stories like that, or even little drawings like that, for those of you who have had your kid draw a picture or whatever, they're funny. But they're also kind of important, because, you know, you're getting insight into what they think about when they think about you. And what you think about when you think about something, it totally impacts how you feel about that thing. Like, that's just life, right? Like, for example, trampolines. Most people, when they think about trampolines, what they think about is like fun and jumping around and having a good time. Well, this guy, this is what he thinks about when he thinks about trampolines. He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna dunk it. Oh wait, yeah, there you go." Like, that's what this guy thinks about when he thinks about trampolines. Or how about marching bands? Most people, when they think of marching bands, they're like, "Yeah, football, or the cool beats and good music. I'm gonna, you know, break it down." Well, this kid probably used to think that about that, but then one day he's like, "Oh man, this is awesome. I'm loving this song." Where is he? Here he is. He's gonna come out right here. And he's just having a good time. Tuba player's like, "No, you do not interrupt this performance." That kid's never gonna forget that moment. Never gonna forget it. Or, man, parents, how about magic? You know, have your kids ever seen any magic or been to a magic show? Most of the time, what people think about when they think about magic is like fun, like blowing your mind, like entertainment. Well, parents of these kids, this is what they think about when they think about magic. This is Sven from Germany. Watch how quickly this goes bad. "Hey, look, I'm gonna disappear the tablecloth. Oh, wait, uh-oh. Oh!" He's still alive. alive. I checked. It's okay. I did not show you a kid dying. Parents, though, if you've got kids or you babysat for people, isn't it amazing how the line between we just got out the crayons and the dog is on fire is so small, right? It's like 10 seconds. That's all it takes. You're like, whoa, that escalated. But that's my point with those, you know, silly videos is, man, that is how you get people that are scared of trampolines or, you know, kids that boo marching bands or parents that literally hate magic shows, right? Because what you think about when you think about something, it determines everything and impacts how you feel about it, whether you like it or you don't, whether you want to do it or whether you don't want to do it, whether you think it's cool or lame, or whether you think it's safe or dangerous. You know, what you think about when you think about something, it impacts, you know, everything about how you feel about it. And that's true of people too, right? You know, there might be this guy at work and everybody likes him, but what you think about when you think about him is like, he's kind of a jerk. Well, you're probably not going to invite him to your birthday party. You know, it's like, that's not going to happen, you know? Or if there's a girl in your neighborhood and what you think about when you think about her is she's kind of snooty, you know? Well, her email's going to get left off the Evite, you know? Like, you know, it's just what you think about when you think about someone or something, it impacts everything about your relationship to that thing or to that person. And that's just how life works. What you think about when you think about something determines how you feel about it. And here's a question that I just wanted to ask this morning. This is kind of where I want us to go this morning. I just want to ask you this question. What do you think about when you think about God? Like, what do you think about when you think about God? Like, when you woke up this morning and you're like, hey, let's go to church. Or when somebody invited you, like, hey, you should come check out this Buckhead church. You'll like it, you know? Or when you walked in the room and we started singing about God or somebody started talking about God, what popped into your head? What images in your mind? What do you think about when you think about God? Or here's maybe another way to ask it. What is your God filter? What is that filter through which you see God? Did you know that? You have that. You have a certain way that you view or imagine or picture God. And what is it? What do you think about when you think about God? And if we could go around right now and you would tell us, or even better, if we could like actually look into your brain and see what it is that you kind of think about when you think about God, we might find some things in common. I bet a lot of us, what we think about when we think about God might be kind of like this right here, that's kind of what you think about when you think about God, right? That God's kind of like the referee in the sky, like throwing the flags, blowing the whistles, like, ah, you lied. Ah, I saw you get mad at your girlfriend, or ah, I was there on Friday night. You thought I wasn't, but I was at the club. I'm going, you know, and God's up there like, I'm going to get you. And, you know, when you're a kid, you imagine God with the lightning bolts, like, bzz, bzz, bzz. But then you grow up and you realize it's just like taxes and traffic. That's what he has, and jury duty, you know? Like, God's just like, oh, man, your property taxes are going to double. I am so mad, you know? Or like, your commute, oh, I'm going to make it rain. No, I'm going to make it snow. You are never getting home, you know? And you're just like, God, why? And maybe that's why for some of you, when you come to church or when you think about talking to God or coming with somebody, you get a little nervous. Because that's what you think about when you think about God. Like, he's the guy up there with the list, and he's got like the positives, he's got the negatives, and it's kind of like a balance sheet. And you're like, I'm really not sure where I am on that list. Or heck, maybe that's why you are here. Maybe you're here going, hey, why don't I go get some positive credit on Sunday for the negative credit that I got on Friday, right? Let's balance that out. But your relationship with God maybe feels like that. Like, it's hard to feel real close to him because you kind of feel like kind of guilty. Or maybe what you think about when you think about God is more like that. It's like Alexa. You're like, yeah, God's kind of like the Alexa in the sky, right? You know, when you need someone, you're like, hey, Alexa, I need, you know, and fill in the blank. When you need something, when you got a mess, when you're in a jam and you need some help, you just, bing, you know, and you hey. And God maybe does what you need him to do. You're not really sure how it works or how you know if it's going to happen, but like maybe that's kind of what we think God's actually doing in church. Like when you're sitting there, God's like up there somewhere and he's kind of with like angels or something, like, looking at the crowd like, oh, who's here today? Okay, the Johnsons are here in check. That's good. Oh, there's Randy. Where's Jessica? Is Jessica here? You see Jessica? No. She's not getting that promotion. Prayer denied, you know? Like, that's kind of who God is. And so that's how maybe your relationship with him looks like. And, you know, it's just the, here's what I need, God. And you never know how it works. It feels like you're always rolling the dice. It involves a lot of promising, a lot of bargaining, and like give and take, and maybe. And then you're kind of like, I don't know. Or maybe what you think about when you think about God, let's just keep it honest. Some of you, this is what you think about when you think about God. You're like, hey, honestly, no offense, Jamie, or any of you professional Christians, what I think about when I think about God is kind of a little bit like this. And not to be insulting, but I'm just like, you know, God's nice. He's kind of old. Like, he has never even heard of Alexa, you know? He's the God that's kind of disconnected from life, that he's not super relevant to what's going on. Like, he's awake on Sunday when you come, but the rest of the week is like, he's, you know, falling asleep like you were on Sunday, right? And maybe that's kind of what your relationship with God feels kind of like. That's what your past has been. Or maybe this is what you think about when you think about God. Maybe it's more like a cloud. That he's like the cloud God. And by that, I mean, he's like out there. He's like far away, mysterious. And you're not sure where he is, and you never really like seen him. And sure, somebody probably knows him, like Andy probably knows him for sure, but like normal people like us, we're like, nah. I mean, he's way out. Was that him? No, it wasn't him. And maybe God feels that way to you. He's far away. Possible to know. Or I don't know, here's another picture. Maybe this is what you think about when you think about God. It's like, yeah, bro. You know, just maybe he's like your bro. I don't know. Or hey, if we're keeping it real, I do know that some of you in the room would legitimately say, this is actually more a better representation of what I think about when I think about God. Not the magical snowman, but if you're just being honest, you're like, yeah, I'm not 100% sure whether God is in the realm of reality or he's in the realm of fantasy. I'm not sure which one he is. And so maybe you're one of those. And by the way, look, I'm having fun with these, but I'm not making fun of them. Like, these are legitimate ways that we think about God. And I know that because I've thought every one of these at some point in my life. And chances are, you're looking at that list and going, oh yeah, I totally felt that. Or I feel that kind of right now. Or maybe it's one of them. Maybe it's a collection of them. But like, what do you think about when you think about God? I bet you're on there somewhere. And the question is, well, which is it? I mean, like, how do you know? Which one of those is it? Which combination of those is it? What should I think about when I think about God? And y'all, I think that is a really, 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 really important question. Because it is no different with God than it is with that kid on the trampoline. What you think about when you think about God is going to determine everything about how you feel about him, about your experience of him, and about your relationship with him. I mean, come on. I mean, let's just think about it for a second. Let's be honest. If what you think about when you think about God is he's a referee, what kind of relationship are you probably going to have with him? A referee kind, right? How many referees have you been super tight with? If what you think about when you think about God is Alexa, what kind of relationship do you think you're going to end up having with him? Yeah, like an Alexa kind of relationship. Are you real tight with Alexa? Or you just kind of throw up requests once in a while and hope they happen? No, if what you think about when you think about God is he's like an old man God or he's like a cloud God, what kind of relationship do you think you're going to have with him? Yeah, a cloud kind or an old man kind of relationship. Because what you think about when you think about God, it determines everything about how you feel about him, your experience of him, your relationship with him. And guys, I think that explains a lot. I think that explains why many of us, and probably more of us than we would guess, know what it's like to walk into this room right here and look up on stage and hear somebody singing about God or somebody talking about God. Or listen to a baptism story, or even sit in a small group somewhere and hear somebody talk. We know what it's like to walk in here and look up on stage or look up in the front here with some people that are like, yeah, they're into it, and go, dude, I must have no idea what you think about when you think about God, because I'm sitting in the same room, I'm hearing the same songs, I'm listening to the same sermon, I got the same t-shirt, but I'm not feeling what you're feeling. I'm not connecting with what you're connecting with. I'm not seeing what you're seeing, and I have no idea why. And the idea that I just want to throw out at you this morning is, what if that's simply because that what you're thinking about when you think about God is wrong? Like, what if the reason that you don't really like God, like on the down low, or you're not really connecting with him, or you kind of think he's boring or far away, what if the reason is simply that what you're thinking about when you think about God, it's kind of off, like your God filter is off? And I'm not just talking to like people that don't go to church, I'm talking like Christians too. Hey, what if the reason some of us feel a little bit stalled in our faith or a little bit kind of over it, or like, yeah, I remember when it was exciting, but it's not now. What if the reason for that is that what you're thinking about right now when you think about God is not quite right? Like maybe it was right at some point, but as time has passed, you've drifted to some other picture of God that is wrong. Like it's not even who he is. What if the number one thing standing in the way of your current experience and relationship with God is simply that what you're thinking about when you think about him is not right? I think that's very possible. In fact, I think it might even be likely, and I say that from personal experience. Man, I have messed this up so many different times and gotten this wrong so many different ways in my own life. And here's how you would know. Here's how I think you would know if this might be you. If who you think God is less than you'd hoped he'd be, you probably have a problem with your God filter. If you feel a little bit over God, Christians, if you feel a little bit over God, like underwhelmed by God, you might have a problem with your God filter. Might not be quite right. If you're not sure if God likes you, you might have a problem with your view of God. If you don't see any connection between God and your ordinary day life, like no relevance and no connection, you might have a God filter problem. If the idea of getting closer to God does not excite you, you might have a problem with your God filter. What you're thinking about when you're thinking about God, it might actually not be right. And again, I can tell you that from experience. But here's what I also can tell you. When somebody helped me understand who God really was, it changed everything. Everything. And still to this day, as a Christian now, anytime I stop to remember who God really is, changes everything all over again. And so that's really the question of this morning. Okay. So what should I think about when I think about God? Like, how do I figure it out? And here's where I think it's really cool. And this is probably one of my favorite things about God. And that's that you don't have to figure it out. Like God is not waiting on you and me to figure it out. It's not like he's waiting on us to draw some pictures and he's like, warmer, warmer, no, colder, colder, warmer, you know? No, God's not waiting on us to figure him out. And God's like, the way you're gonna know who I am is I'm gonna show myself to you. And that's what you see God doing, like from start to finish. Like even from the very beginning, like the earliest stuff that we have about God, that's what you see God doing. God's going, hey, I'm just going to show you who I am. And you start even from the very beginning, like getting little glimpses, like he makes the world. Okay, well, God's like a creator. Well, he's like ruling a nation. Okay, God's like in charge, you know, and then getting another glimpse kind of like who he is. Or there's this whole temple thing going on, like God's holy and stuff like that. And then like the more you go through, you get like, you know, a little bit more of who he is and like a little bit more of who he is and another glimpse of who he is, another glimpse of who he is. And until you get to the part of the story or really the part of history when God said, okay, now I'm going to show you exactly who I am. And Jesus is born. And Jesus grows up and he starts to say things like, hey, I'm going to show you who God is. If you've seen me, if you'll look at me, if you'll tune into me, if you'll listen to me, I'm going to show you exactly who God is. And there's this really cool moment kind of in the beginning of his career, if you will, where Jesus makes an introduction of sorts. Like in the middle of this whole conversation and all the confusion of like, oh, I think God's this. No, I think he's that. No, I think he's this. No, this is my picture of God. Jesus steps in the middle and it's like, shh, shh, time out. I want to tell you who God really is. And there's this cool moment where he kind of does like an unveiling of sorts and he says, here's God. And the context is Jesus is with his crew, the 12 disciples, and these guys have been watching him. And they had the same experience. They're watching Jesus like pray and talk to God and they're like, I must have no idea what he thinks about when he thinks about God because I'm not feeling that. I'm not connecting with that. And so they go to him and they say, hey, Jesus, will you teach us to pray? Will you teach us how to like approach God will you teach us what we should feel, what we should think about when we think about God? And Jesus is like, of course. And so he does. And at first he teaches them some principles of how to pray. And then he says this. This then is how you should pray. Big words. This then is how you should pray. This then is how you should talk to God. This then is what you should call God. This then is what you should think about when you think about God, what your experience of him ought to be like. And many of you know the next two words that came out of his mouth. Anybody want to say it? He said, our Father. Our Father. And that is huge. I mean, talk about a big moment. He could have said anything here. He could have picked any word in any language or any concept or any metaphor or any simile or any illustration or any example. But he's like, no, I'm going to pick the one word that most accurately tells you who God is, our Father. He could have used any concept. And yet he chose a concept that people previously did not think they could even call God. Like nobody called God Father, maybe Lord, like Almighty One or whatever, but not Father. In fact, in his culture, you couldn't even say the name of God. And yet Jesus says, you want to know what you should think about when you think about God? You want to know what you should call him? Our Father. And he starts saying this word about God over and over and over and over. Father, Father. I and the Father are one. I have come to show you the Father. I want you to know the Father. I'm going to go to the Father and prepare a place for you. I'm doing my Father's will. My Father's will. This is my Father, my Father, my Father. He starts using this word that nobody had ever used before. In fact, one of his closest followers, Paul, would later take a next step and write it like this. He wrote this in his letter to the Galatians. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. This is obviously not an English word. Does anybody know what that means? Abba, it means daddy. Daddy. So when Jesus says like our Father, it's not like, well, hello, Father. No, it's much more like a kid and his dad just came home and she's running to him going, hey, dad, daddy. That's why I love that moment. That Jesus, in a world, in the middle of a conversation about, oh, no, I think God is this, and I think God is that, and all the confusion and all the options, Jesus steps right in the middle of it, and he says, no, let me show you exactly who God is. He's Abba. He's Dad. He's Father. What do you think about when you think about God? And what if it was that? What if it was that? Like, what if that is who you were convinced he was to you? What if that was what your experience of him was like? What if that's what your relationship with him like felt like? What if that's how you connected him? Wouldn't that change everything? And some of you are you sitting there going, yeah. Dude, if that's who God was to me, that would change everything. I know that's where some of us are because I know that's where I was. That changed my life. But here's what I also know. That's not what we're all thinking. I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are sitting there and you're going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've heard that. I mean, because who hadn't heard that prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Wonderful prayer. And some of you are sitting there going like, oh, yeah, 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 I know. And if that's what you're thinking, I just want to like humbly suggest, I'm not sure you get it. Like, I know you may like intellectually know that God is your Father, but chances are you're probably still relating to him like a referee or like something else. Like, maybe you know the words, but I wonder if you've connected the dots. Or maybe you do get it, but somewhere along the lines, you've started relating to him like something else along the way, and you just kind of forgot about it. I don't know, but I do know this. When you really get what Jesus meant when he says that God is your Father, it's not like, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. And so for the a couple of minutes that we got left, what I would like to do is maybe discover together or maybe simply just remember together the really, 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 really unbelievably awesome thing that Jesus meant when he said that God is your Father. And maybe let it change us for the first time or maybe let it change us all over again for the 100th time. But I also know that some of you are thinking a second thing, and that's this. I bet some of you in the room are going, God's my father? That sounds terrible. Because your dad left. Or your dad was a jerk. Or your dad literally never told you he loved you. And that breaks my heart. And I am so sorry. And I'm so sorry that somebody who was supposed to give you like an imperfect picture of how God felt about you dropped the ball or didn't do their job. And I just want you to know that when Jesus said that God was your father, he was not thinking about your earthly father. He was thinking about a perfect father. He was thinking about the father you wish you had, the father that you dreamed of having. And if that's you, just for a moment, I would love a chance to maybe tell you or remind you again what the incredible thing that Jesus had in mind when he said, no, God is your perfect heavenly father. And so I got three things that it means. Number one is this. When Jesus says God is your father, he means that God loves you. I mean, like, he really loves you. John says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called his children. David says that God's love, it's so big and it's so high, it is better than life. It's better than life. It's so good. Like, God, like, oh man, he loves you. And I know when I say that, here's the problem. I know when I say that, you might be going like, okay, yeah. But simultaneously, there's another word that's popping up in your head, and that word is like, it's but. Okay, but you don't know my track record. I hear you. I know that's a verse in the Bible, but you don't know what I've done. Or, hey, you don't know what kind of Christian I've been. I haven't been in church in a while. I haven't really done all the things. I've been kind of like, meh. Jamie, but you don't know my past. God doesn't. Come on. He doesn't love me. Okay, or maybe loves me because, like, God loves the world, but, like, God doesn't like me. He's not that in love with me. And listen, if that's what you're thinking, if that's your first response to that, then look, I just want to make sure you understand you don't get it. Like, you don't get it. That might be how referee God works. That might be how, you know, Alexa God works, but that is not how Father God works. Paul tells us that Father God loves to do something very specific with that list of reasons of why God shouldn't love you. You know that list of reasons that you have of why God shouldn't love her or why he shouldn't like you? God loves to take, he says, that list of reasons that you have or that anybody for that matter else have, and he loves to like nail it to the cross, the symbol of God's forgiveness, and publicly mock your accusers. That's what Paul says in Colossians. I love that image. It's like God's standing there next to you, and he's going like, hey, has anybody got some reasons why I shouldn't love him? Yeah, can I see it? Bam, nailed to the cross. Anybody else got some? You got one? Yeah. Can I see it? Bam, nailed to the cross. Who else? Anybody want to come? Oh, you got one. Bring it here. I'd love to see it. Oh, not bam, nailed to the cross. For whatever reason, it makes me think of this story with my dad from a long time ago when I was like 7 or something. I don't even know how old I was, so don't hold me to the details on this. This is a 7-year-old memory. But we were going to a Braves game, and I was with my dad, and so I'm like a little booger. And this was back at the old stadium and back when everybody was going to Braves games. Like, it was thronging, packed, and we're in this crowd, and I'm holding his hand, you know, like, walking along. And at some point, I let go of his hand to do, you know, whatever kids do. I don't know. I just remember I let go of his hand. And I tripped, like, and I fell on the ground. My dad did not notice at first because I was a little bit behind him. He kept walking. But then I cry out, like, Dad, you know? And my dad turns around and sees me on the ground. And my dad was a kind of a big guy, and is a kind of a big guy, you know, football player kind of type. You know, clearly I got his physique. thanks, Mom. And he sees his offspring on the ground and he goes into like alpha dad mode, okay? He's like, you know, and I'm like a gazelle on the African plains, like, meh, you know? And my dad starts walking to get me. And some poor unfortunate guy, well-intentioned, just puts his hand on my dad like, hey, buddy, everybody's going this way. He didn't try to be mean, but he was just like, hey, man, we're all going this way. My dad goes like, boom, like, this is Sparta, you know, and like clears the area around me. He picks me up. This is what I remember. He picks me up by the back of my shirt and just starts walking. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like my dad is a hero. Oh, I have no idea if that's how it really happened. That's just what I remember. But when I think of that story, man, that's a great picture of how God loves you. That God, he walks right up into the middle of the crowd of all the reasons of why he shouldn't love you, why he shouldn't like you, and he's like, bring it on. Anybody got anything else? Anybody got anything else? Bring it on. I will take you down because that's my boy and I love him and there ain't nothing you're gonna do about it. That's what it means that God is your father. I love that. Oh, here's the second one. God loves you, but man, he's with you. Maybe you've had people leave you in your life. I think we all have. And maybe everybody would leave given the right reasons or at the right time. But we definitely have that fear about God, you know, right? Have you ever listened to your prayers? We pray like, God, be with me, God, be with me, God, be with me. Like, we're afraid God's gonna leave. And listen, if that's what you think, and I know I do a lot, you don't get it. You don't get it. I mean, that might be how like cloud God works. That might be how like an old man God works. That's not how Father God works. Father God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never. I will never leave you or forsake you. And by the way, not only will I never leave you, you can't escape me. We get this from David in the Psalms. If you go up into the highest heavens, I'll be there. You go down in the lowest depths, I'll be there too. You go to the far side of the sea, right? Run away as far away as you can. Even there, I will be with you. It doesn't matter how high. It doesn't matter how low. It doesn't matter how far. Not only will I not leave you, you can't outrun me. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even there, you don't have to fear because I'm going to be with you. And my strength and my comfort and my power will be yours on even the worst day of your life to bring good out of it and redeem it. He's with you. And that's what it means that God is your father. Or one more. He's for you. And this is the one that kind of breaks my heart a little bit because I know that probably there's a lot of us in this room that you have either assumed or you have literally been told that God is against you. And it was believable because people can be against you. For the smallest things. And so you just assume, yeah, well, sure, God could be against me too. And I just want you to know if that's what you're thinking or if somebody has told you that, they don't get it. That might be how some other kind of God works, but that's not how Father God works. Your Father God is for you. Paul says in Colossians that when God looks at you, Ephesians, he says that God sees a masterpiece. Like the God literally looks at you and is like, you are my masterpiece that I want to create in Christ Jesus for good works and good things that I already see. Like I'm already dreaming about it. And I'm telling you, if you could see what God sees when he looks at you, like who he sees you becoming and where he sees you going and the things he sees you doing, the life he sees you building, the person he sees you becoming, if you could see for 1 second what God sees when he looks at you, it would blow your mind. He is for you. But it's even bigger than that. It's not just that God is planning for you. No, he's coming for you. Like God is so for you that he came for you. That's Jesus. Jesus is God coming for you. And here's what that means. One of my favorite Jesus stories is that actually happened at a funeral. I know that sounds morbid. Give me a second. Jesus is walking along doing this thing. He looks over and he sees a funeral procession. They're taking a young man out to get buried and his mom is coming along behind. Some guys are carrying him out. And Jesus is like, hold up a sec. And he walks over to the funeral. He's like, hey, you guys need to stop. You can imagine. And they're like, excuse me, sir. This is none of your business. Please don't interrupt the funeral procession. No, you need to stop. You're not going to need to go out there. And Jesus looks at this man, this young man. And he says, young man, get up. And that young man got up. You can imagine a teenager, if you've got teenagers, like wakes up, mom, what are you doing? You know? Yeah, son, Jesus just came over and he interrupted your funeral. And I just want you to know that you have a heavenly father who will always come for you in Jesus to bring what's dead alive in your life, be it your relationships, be it your decisions, be it your past, be it your future, or most importantly, be it your soul. He's that for you. He will never stop planning for you, and you will better believe he will always come for you. Because that's what it means, that God is your Father. He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. What do you think about when you think about God? And do you want to trade it? Do you want to trade it for that? Because you can. And maybe today you need to. In a second, we're about to play a song. It's a great song. It really captures this truth pretty exactly. And while this song is playing, like, don't leave traffic. We'll be fine. I want to challenge you with maybe one of these following two responses today. Some of you, what I'm hoping you'll do in this song, I'm hoping that you're going to sit there and you're going to remember. Because it has been way too long since you remembered that God is your Father. You spent way too many days, 6 days, 6 months, 6 years, acting like God was somebody else. And maybe today you need to throw that away and you need to remember, nah, he's my Father. He loves me. He's with me. He is for me. And you need to let that sink down in so deep that it changes you all over again. It ignites your heart all over again, explodes and redefines your relationship with God all over again. I don't care whether it's been 6 hours or it's been 6 years. I hope a lot of us today sit in this song in this moment and just let God remind us who he is. Because it'll change you. Others of you, maybe the better word is what you need to do today is you need to start. Because you've been thinking the whole time, like legit, the whole time you've been thinking that God was a referee. Somebody just, they just told you that and you just believed them and you've been thinking this whole time that God's just a referee in the sky or an Alexa in the sky or some cloud that you're never gonna know. And you just woke up to the fact of Jesus going, nope, he is your heavenly Father. And maybe today, you need to throw that old idea away and you need to start a brand new relationship with God your Father. Right here, right now. It'll change everything. And you can. You can do that. You can do that because of Jesus. And so maybe during this song, maybe that's what you just need to do. You need to just sit there and listen to the song or start singing. I don't know, but you need to just look up to God and go, hey, God, I want to start a relationship with you as my Father. What do you think about when you think about God? What if he really is our Father? What if he really does love you? What if he really is with you, like forever with you? And what if he really is for you? He is.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. If you're an Atlanta resident, I would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Buckhead Church. For directions, service times, and information about our fabulous children's and student environments, please visit us at buckheadchurch.org. That's buckheadchurch.org.